Good morning, Crossroads. It is so good to be with you. Malachi, I'm going to invite you to make your way up here right now. Did you see the words on that video? Go, go, go. We've been in this amazing series on spiritual gifts, and we have to remember that even as we are investing in and looking at what these gifts are, how they're defined, how they operate and function, how we practice them, that it is not about doing these gifts for our sake alone. It is about doing these gifts so we're drawn to God, so we join Him in His mission to the world. So church, it doesn't end here. It doesn't end on Sunday. This is a starting point. This is a launching, and we go. At the same time, we welcome Malachi back. Let's welcome him back. Malachi, you're loved. And if you don't know, this is my son, Malachi. I'm very proud of him and I love him. You know what else I'm really proud of? I'm really proud of our youth today. Did you see our youth up here? There's three youth, and then my wife Jody, but three youth were leading us in worship. Beautiful. Exciting. So we're saying go. Malachi actually went. He went to Uganda. I'm going to take a pause here, and I'm looking for the mic that Suzette had. There it is. Beautiful. You want to grab that and hold that till you get the green light? Yeah. Green light. All right. Malachi. Thank you for this morning. First question for you, Malachi, and we're going to have accompanying pictures here, is it's a three-part question. Where did you go? What did you do? Who did you do it with?
Okay. I went to Uganda, Africa. It's a small country in Middle Eastern Africa. I was doing various different missions living with the Dyke family and working with an organization called Kuwasha. So we did various things like we built a couple mud huts, did famine relief, so we bagged maize and handed it out to people, and we served meals, went into the community, worked at people's houses. Stuff like that.
Yeah, amazing. So just really quickly, this picture, tell us about it.
So that picture was taken at Murchison Falls. That's actually the source of the Nile River. So you can't really see the water because the trees are covering it, but it's like trees, water, and then trees, and then the sun's rising up. Murchison Falls, it's where we saw a lot of animals like lions and giraffes and
beautiful. So Uganda, famine relief, community building with an amazing family, the Dyke family. Tell us about one thing that surprised you. Now we've got two, don't go to the pictures quite yet. We've got two pictures, right? So you,
one for this one.
Okay, one picture, okay.
Yeah, one for
this one, yeah. So you cue when it's ready, go.
the thing that surprised me, there's a lot of people in Uganda. So Uganda is, the whole country is smaller than BC, but it has the population of all of Canada. So 35 million people living in a space smaller than BC. So there are a lot of people, and with a lot of people, that means there's a lot of need. I expected need, but it still surprised me just how many people there were and how many people did need and how many. So, like, our poverty line here is very different from their poverty line.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, good. So that picture, next picture, go. Yeah.
So these girls, they were all lined up. There was 50, and none of them had shoes. So we were handing out shoes, and you can see this one. She's smiling. They were so excited. They got these brand-new shoes, which, for us, like, everybody has a couple pairs of shoes, right? For them, they weren't on the poverty line in Uganda, right? But they didn't have shoes. So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Perspective shift. Things we take for granted. Hey.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Okay. So this next one is the one with two videos. So you cue the pictures. Tell us about the thing that challenged you the most while you were there.
So throughout the trip, what the school that I worked at would do little outreach day trips where they would load up a caged, open, unsafe, fast bus full of two grades, maybe grades 3 and 4 or 5 and 6 primary students. And they would go out to a house in the community and they would work at that house, till the land, clean out the house, get them water, give them supplies. So that was what we did for outreach. And about halfway through my trip, we went to this one outreach and we all got in the back of this bus, and I don't have a picture of the bus, but it was like, it was bigger than a school truck, or about as long, but it was this huge cage over with holes in between the bars, so the kids would literally just, it was like in movies where you see like a swarm of anything, they would all just scramble in, get it caught in these holes, and they'd be all over this cage. So we hopped in the cage with them and drove through the back roads, bumping. Anyone could have fallen out anytime. It was fine. Bumping. And we got to this outreach house, and everybody got out. And we all, all the white people, went to the actual outreach house. And our translator talked with the mom. And so it was a mom and three kids and their house. Oh my gosh, it was brutal what they were living in. So they were living in a space a little bigger than the drum set. Yeah, like this on the drum set. And split into two rooms. And it was just filthy and disgusting in there. The mom was sick, so sick. She was walking around dazed while we were there. We think with AIDS right now. And the kids, what shocked me was when we found the kids trying to eat. You can go to the next picture. Trying to eat that. So they were, that was one of the kids helping me clean out the house, but these little kids, their mom was so sick. They had so little. They were literally trying to eat that. We found a wrapper in it, like an actual candy wrapper. So that's mud, leaves, dirty water, not boiled water, like the dirty water, and a wrapper. They were trying to eat garbage because their stomachs were so, so hungry. They were just trying to put something in there. So that was what challenged me the most, was seeing these people who had less than nothing. They had so little. And that was the biggest. And the next picture is the girl who was eating that. Her name is Miriam. So that was probably the biggest challenge for me, was trying to keep it together. I had to take a moment, go into the eucalyptus by myself kind of thing.
Yeah. And so just really quickly, how did the outreach team support and come alongside that family?
So our team, they had a lot of land that wasn't really theirs. So for two things we did was we actually bought the land that they lived on for them. So they now own the land that they're living on. And all the kids in the primary 3 and 4 class and us, we helped clear all the land so they could plant and finally get some food growing and then maybe sell some of the extra. And I specifically was working with the girl who was holding the pan, and her and I were clearing out their house. We emptied it out, swept it, pulled out this nasty bed, hundreds of flies and mosquitoes and disgusting. Swept it out, aired it out, and then put in new mattress, new mosquito net, gave them new washing tubs. So they have these tubs that they use for everything, for washing, cooking. So we gave them new tubs because theirs were busted. We got a couple loads of water from the river for them and a lot of food.
Yeah, beautiful. Tell us about a space you encountered God significantly. in the trip? I'm sure there are many. Just give us one.
There's a lot, but one that I remember actually was at the same house. In the next picture, you see kids working with these hoes to clear the land, and that was the primary 3 and 4 class that I was talking about. So, those are the grade 4 girls. What shocked me was, and how I encountered God and Him saying just serve like they do, because these kids, they were on the poverty line, right? And they had nothing to share, but what they could share was themselves and their work. And so what little they had to give, they were just pouring out into this family who had nothing. And so that's when I kind of saw all these kids just hop out of the truck, and you can see how she's smiling, and they're chattering, and some of them were wrestling, and they got to work, and they just worked so hard giving what they had. Like, they didn't work with, they didn't have shoes. They had nothing helping people who had less than nothing. So.
Wow.
That's what I encountered.
What an example. So you said they didn't have anything, but everything that was part of them, they gave it all to serve.
Everything they could have. Those were the only clothes they had. They had a school uniform, but that was for church and school only.
That's good.
No shoes. Those were the only clothes.
Thanks. So one of the things that we ask for our people when they go out and serve, as they come back, would you pray for us as a church? Would you just bless us right now and pray for us?
Dear Jesus, thank you for this awesome church and for the people in this church who helped support me so I could go on this trip. Thank you so much for that. I pray that you would bless the church, Jesus. I pray that they would see this and feel a new fire for you, Jesus. Give them a new understanding of life and service and Jesus, just thank you for enabling them to enable me to go on this trip, Jesus. Bless them many times. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, thanks, Malachi. Yeah, love you, buddy. Come here. Love you. Beautiful. Beautiful. What an encouragement and also a challenge for us in this idea of going. And the thing is, we don't have to wait to go, and we need to be serving in the same way and pouring ourselves out in the same way right here and right now, right? Agreed? Agreed. Beautiful. Spiritual gifts, tying it all together. Our goal today, so we've talked through this direction of developing a common script of understanding what spiritual gifts are, of understanding that it is God's Spirit who gives out the gifts, and then we are called to use it. And today we are going to wrap it all up. We are going to tie it all together. And so if you've got your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 11. And it should be up on the screen as well. Beautiful. Thanks, guys. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. So just before has come the list of all of those gifts, primarily charismatic giftings that we've been working through in these last weeks. And He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So that's God's Spirit saying He gives them the way that He determines. And so we see clearly throughout Scripture that we are encouraged to ask for more, to seek after the great gifts. But everything that we're doing there has to be with our eyes on Jesus, not our eyes on the gifts. It has to be with a trust, a submission, and a surrender. The idea of releasing our control and trusting in what God has for us. But it also doesn't mean that we just stay where we're at. Does that make sense? So we keep pressing forward, we keep looking, we keep seeking, eyes on Jesus, the giver of the gifts, not the gifts themselves. just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And we spent a whole Sunday on this, and I want to just remind us, look around right now. Go ahead, turn back, unless you've got some neck issues. Turn back, look behind you. We are all one body, each one of us with different giftings, different makeup, different abilities, different desires. But the goal isn't for us as individuals and parts of the body to come into this place and say, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what I want. I want to do this. Our goal is to recognize we're all one body. We're called together to minister. We're called together to pursue God, to encounter God, to pursue others around us, to encounter God in others. Many parts, one body. We're going to jump over to Romans 12, starting in verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So again, this is recognizing that we're all called to look outside of ourselves. This is one of the most difficult things for us to get, especially in our North American culture context. One of the most difficult things. And we recognize that anytime we make a commitment to another person, whether that's in a friendship, especially in our marriage, we have all this build-up, this anticipation of marriage. We say these vows, and then we move into life together, and we have to actually live those vows. And the only way you live those vows out properly is by surrendering, by thinking of your wife or your husband more than you think of yourself. And that's the example that God uses. The true example is Jesus. And we read this in Philippians 2, who considered equality with God not something to be grasped, but became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Right? He took on the fullness of humanity. He submitted himself to this place of flesh in order that he could sacrifice himself for us to unite us to God. That is the gospel. That is the starting place. That is the place of life change. That is the place where we come into union with God, where we are given and bestowed gifts. If you're here today and you've heard that, but have chosen that the timing has not been right, maybe today is the right time, and maybe you're feeling that nudge and that draw. I want you to hold that if that's what you're feeling. And I want to invite you to come up to one of our prayer teams at the end so we can pray with you. There is hope, there is healing, there is fullness in relationship with Christ. Starting in continuing verse 4, Romans 12, 4, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to... Can you see it up there? Say those next three words. What? What would that mean in your life if you were to pause? All these people that you just looked around at, in the framing and the context of spiritual gifts, but what would it mean like to think, I belong to Deb. I belong to Bill. Right? What would that mean? That would mean a whole shift and difference in the way that we live and operate, a whole new freedom, a whole new release of control and trusting in what God has to us. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So we move through all those gifts in our weeks. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time right now going through those. I encourage you to go back to our sermons and just to listen to what God has for us there. Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Okay, now I'm going to read through all of that again. Because sometimes we think that we will attain joy, we will get this place of goodness when we get our way. I want you to listen to what Paul is saying to us in this scripture. Okay? Love must be sincere. This is a character issue. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. In all honesty, the world that we live in, it is easier to hold on to evil. And sometimes it's massive evil. You know what's wrong. You shouldn't be doing it. Other times it's just a small thing. But Paul's saying here, reject evil. Put it out. Get rid of it. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Remember, how do we get to joy? Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. What an encouragement and what a challenge for me personally, for us as a church. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Now, this is a little context, and we're going to land back on this idea of character. But let's pause for a second, and if we can bring our vision and our mission up there. Beautiful. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to give you about 10 seconds to read that, and then I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Everybody is invited to stand. Not everybody has to speak it. I only want you to speak it out together with us if you agree with it. So can I invite you to stand? Now, the first part is part of our vision statement as a church. This is where we see ourselves going. This is where we are moving towards. This is what we see. Our value is discipleship. This is actually a part of who we are. This whole Sunday gathering is discipleship. Our life group ministry is discipleship. Our freedom session is discipleship. So value is who we are. Vision is where we're going. Now, I want you to say this with me, and I want to invite you to speak it with fervor, with life. If you're visiting here, you are welcome to participate with us. If you agree with it, we love that. If you don't agree with it, that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to speak it. There's freedom here. Just invitation. We ready? We see a church where people are developed to live to the full capacity of their true identity and gifting in Christ. We see a people of sacrifice who lay everything down for God's mission, reconciling people to Him. Okay, just pause. We see it. We're moving towards it. We're taking those steps. We're on our way, church. And it's exciting to be on our way. Value. We value discipleship, the training and developing of people so they become more and more like Jesus. God, we just pray as we speak this out, as we look to You, Lord, that You would draw us towards this vision that You've given us. This is Your call on us as a church. And so we submit ourselves to You, Lord. If you agree, I just invite you to say amen. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. Thank you, church. If you didn't know, we belong to the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church, and the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church did not actually start as a denomination, though it is a denomination now. It started as a group of people from various denominations with a heart for mission and a heart for seeing God's word and hope and ministry of reconciliation go out into the world. And so I'm going to read, and you can go ahead and put that part of the quote. I'm going to read through this quote from A.B. Simpson. "When Christ healed the sick while he was on the earth, it was not by the deity that dwelt in his humanity." And this is talking exactly about that idea of Philippians 2, where Jesus came and didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. He said, "If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon you." Matthew 12:28, "Jesus healed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Luke 4:18. The Holy Spirit is the agent then by which this great power is wrought. We should especially expect to see his working in these days because they are the days in which it has been prophesied that there shall be signs and wonders. This was the start of our movement in the late 1800s, 1890s, early 1900s. And Simpson was saying what Scripture says, and that God's giftings are still active and alive. And I believe that we are just here in that beginning phase in our church of seeing God's Spirit poured fully out on us, seeing signs and wonders, seeing God move. And let's be honest, that can be a little bit frightening because it means that we are not in control. We are in submission and surrender to God's hand and his control over us. Now, it means that we always rest and start from Scripture. Scripture is our beginning place, the place that God continually reveals. But it also means that we don't control God's Spirit. It means that we look to and are open to God's Spirit working in our lives, in our church. And this is so essential for us to understand. Have the spiritual gifts ceased? Absolutely not. So then the questions that we've asked as we've moved through this series then are, what are the spiritual gifts? What is for me? What gifts do I have? What is for us? And we've been moving, and people have been praying here after every message for a feeling of God's Spirit, for an understanding of the gifts, for more of a gifting, or for a new gift that we don't have yet. And God is answering, God is directing, God is moving. We looked at our spiritual gifts in three categories: love gifts, word gifts, power gifts. Love gifts manifest the love of God in practical ways. Word gifts clarify the purpose of God. And power gifts demonstrate the power of God. Now, if you've been here with us throughout this whole series, I want you to look. Let's get the next slide up with the... is that the next slide? Wait for it. Let's get the slide that has the list of the spiritual gifts. That's the one. That's the one. My bad. I put the slides in the wrong order. Now, as we look through, I'm going to read through all these gifts here. I want you to listen. I want you to just listen and hear which gifts do you have? Which gifts do you desire to have? Maybe also, which gifts are you afraid of? And as we read this through, I just want you to pray and ask God, does he have more for you? And as we go through these, at the end, we're still going to have one more day of writing in our spiritual gift cards, which are these right here. And it says, my name is, I have the gift of. Kelly, our amazing administrator, it was Administrator's Day this past week. Please make sure you recognize and say thank you to her. I don't see her in here right now. And she would not want me saying this because she loves what she does so much and she loves to be behind. But Kelly, you're awesome. Kelly has been pulling together essentially a database of the giftings that we have. So that when it comes time, hey, we need some people with the gift of pastoring. We need to start some ministry. Or you heard Suzette today, we need these gifts in the area of children's ministry. We actually know where to start from. So if you haven't filled this out and you see this, I want you to come make sure you fill it out at the end of the service. So just listen. Administration. Helps and service. Mercy. Giving. Teaching, exhortation, apostleship, leadership, pastoring, evangelism, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, intercession. And just really quickly, it's in lowercase there because we understand that Scripture does not clearly identify it as a spiritual gift, though it is clearly an ability that some of us have in more measure than others. Faith, discernment of spirits, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, works of power, and healing. I want you to hold those. I want you to consider those. If you haven't helped us understand, please write down what your gifts are so that we can move together. Remember, that gift doesn't belong to you. That gift is yours to use for the building up of the church and to move us out into mission. Right? Now, there's four gifts that we haven't come to, and some of you may be going, well, why haven't we talked about some of these other ones? And the reason is that you can make a case for these next four. If you want to turn to that slide, it has voluntary poverty, celibacy, hospitality, and martyrdom on it. Why haven't we included these in the list of spiritual gifts? The reason that we haven't included these is because you can make an argument that it is a calling or that it is a discipline or that it is, in fact, a spiritual gift. And so we are going to hold these and trust God that He will identify them. Either way, this is from God. So we're going to move through these four, and then we're going to tie it all together and wrap it up with a call to character. Celibacy is the gift that God gives certain members of the body of Christ to remain single and to enjoy it. To be unmarried and to not suffer undue sexual temptation. There are certain people who are actually called to singleness. Paul talks about this specifically. And here's the thing. No one in the church should ever look down on someone who is single. Ever. It is a terrible, terrible thing. It's a sin when we look down on somebody and exclude them or put them into a place of feeling isolated or off to the side. Some of us, those people, are actually called to be single for the rest of their lives, not so that they can focus on and meet their own needs, but so that they can focus on the kingdom of God. Notice the word enjoyment, okay? The gift that God gives certain members of the body of Christ to remain single and to enjoy it. Some of us are not going to get that. That's okay. This is one of the most important things as we look through gifts. We cannot look to another person and say, well, you should do it the way I do it because the way I do it is right. You're wrong. God gives the gifts as He determines. God's the giver of the gifts, and the way that the gifts pour out and practice are different. That's the reality. Too often we try and control these things because it looks different than what we're comfortable with. Let it go. If you suffer undue sexual temptation and you're single, there's a good chance that celibacy is not your gift, okay? put that on your radar. Hospitality, the idea of providing an open home and a warm welcome to those who need food and lodging. Now, here's the thing. This one could possibly fall under the category of serving, of mercy. And the reality is that we desperately need people who have this ability, this gifting of hospitality. I was thinking about this week because I was reading articles and studying, and you hear so many different ideas. People saying, oh, no, this is clearly a gift. No, this is clearly a calling. No, this is just an ability. And the reality is that probably if you have one of these gifts, you're going to go, yeah, that's a gift. That's a spiritual gift. And if you don't, you're going to go, ah, it's more of an ability. It doesn't matter. We need people to be hospitable. That's what we're called to do as followers of Jesus. And some have a greater measure of it than others. Right? Some have a greater measure than others. And those of you who are here, I'm not going to name names because I'll inevitably miss some people. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I just made eye contact with a few. Thank you. Really. And please don't stop. We need you. Martyrdom. Those in the body of Christ who undergo suffering, even death, while continuously displaying a joyous attitude towards God. Many believe it's a gift. If you read the book of Revelation, martyrs actually will have a special place in heaven. And here's the thing. Over 100,000 people every year, these years, suffer and die for the Christian faith. Okay, sometimes you just get going and you start to hear facts and you tune out. That's people who are hunted down, who are murdered because they say, I choose Jesus and I know that Jesus is Lord. And I will willingly submit myself to death, even though I know if I say I give Jesus up that you'll let me live. Amazing. Another pointing to the truth and the call of God on our lives. There are more dying today who love Jesus than there was during the first 3 centuries under the persecution of Rome. And we live in our sheltered North American bubble and often forget. Martyrdom is a phenomenal act where someone says, I would rather give up my life than renounce Jesus. One of our church fathers said it this way, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. If you kill one of us, watch out, 10 more of us will pop up. People see the depth, the truth, the significance as someone puts everything on the line, and people want that. We want that, don't we? So those are 4 added gifts or abilities to consider and to hold and to identify if you have that. Let's move to 1 Corinthians 13. And here is where there's such an important call to character for us. And we have already read 1 Corinthians 13 before. And we're going to do it again because it is so important for us. And here's something I want to challenge you with. And I want you to do this at home as a bit of homework, should you choose. This is an added feet on the ground. That won't be on the slide after. I did an exercise some time ago, and I just came across it going through some old journals where I was holding the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Then I wrote the exact opposite beside it. And I recognized tragically that I was far more leaning into the opposite of this. And it was a place where I came before God and in vulnerability said, God, I need you to change me. And so I want you to do that same exercise. Write down this definition of love on one side, write down the opposite, and then let God do his work. You cannot fit yourself into 1 Corinthians 13, that definition, without the Spirit of God moving in you. It's impossible. Only God can do that work. And the only way God does that work, God does not force himself on us. God moves as we invite. And so our movement has to be towards God, to say, God, I surrender to you. Holy Spirit, I need all of you. I welcome you to your work in me. Amen? Amen. Let's read through this. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, remember this is just coming out of 1 Corinthians 12, which is all the gifts, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal or nails on a chalkboard or this awful noise. You can have the gifts, but if you don't have love, it does not sound right. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. See, the gifts are not what we're seeking after in and of themselves. The gifts empower us to encounter God more fully and then to go on mission with him, to bring this love to everybody around us, within our church, outside of our church. That's our call, church. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Boy, that is so cute. Love it. Love it. God loves it too. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. If we hold that up against this reality that every single one of us in here is part of the body of Jesus, and that we are all called to submit to one another, we are all called to love each other, it's going to move us to achieving that vision that we read together. If we enter into trusting God to bring enough of the love, it moves all of the blocks out of our lives so that we can receive the fullness of God's Spirit, the fullness of the gifts that he has for us. Do you want that, church? Boy, I want that. Let me ask you again. I want you to think about it. Do you want that, church? Let's go get it. Let's go get it. Now, next steps for us, first and always, is Jesus. First and always is our eyes on Jesus, who by his work has given us life. Second is character. God wants to develop our character so that we become more and more like Jesus. Next, we find our gifts. With a heart and attitude of submission, we come and we say, Holy Spirit, pour yourself out on me. Give me your gifts, Lord, so that I can know you, so that I can minister for you, so that I can work for you. And then we use our gifts. Then we actually put our gifts into practice. We don't tuck them away and hold them and use them only when the context is nice or we feel comfortable. We surrender and submit ourselves to God, to one another, and we serve each other. I'm going to invite our ministry teams, if you can make your way forward. And we're going to have, again, we're going to have our communion here, and we're going to have our elders. Maybe we'll have our elders over on that side because the communion is right in the middle. And then we'll have our other prayer team right here. And feet on the ground, similar thing. First of all, I want to challenge you to do that 1 Corinthians 13 exercise, not so that you can beat yourself up about how awful you are, because that's a lie. You're good because Jesus is in you. The next step is surrendering to Jesus and letting him shift all of the things that are opposite to 1 Corinthians 13 to 1 Corinthians 13. Okay? So there's that. There's also the, I want this gift that I don't have. Please see our elders over there for that. There's the other side that I've been hurt by the church, or I've been hurt by this searching, or I feel distant from God. Come to our prayer team. We want to pray with you. Last thing I'm going to say just really briefly is that we are developing a plan at our church, so that if you're hearing this and you're going, okay, I think I might have this, I'm not sure about this, I don't want to put my name on, but I want to know more, we are going to have a class that's going to have consistencies to it, that we're going to seek and look for every person within our church to move through it at some point on their discipleship journey. And in that, we'll identify spiritual giftings. We'll identify how do you practice and live and exercise in the giftings. And Dan and I have been talking about this. We've actually been talking about it for a few years. It's been on our radar, and we're just about there. We're just not quite ready. With that will come some different gift inventories that we'll let you know about so that we can actually know and start to practice our gifts. The other part is that you don't have to wait for is God wants to work on your character right now. Right now. So just invite you to stand and let's pray. Jesus, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for your movement, for your love, for your presence in our church. And Lord, I want to ask that you would bring to mind any barriers that are holding us back. Anything that would keep us from seeing you, anything that would keep us and hold us back from saying, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Give me your gifts. I love you. I want to serve. And just take a moment right now and consider, is there anything that comes to mind? What is it? What does God want to do with it? And so, Lord, right now I pray over this church. I pray your movement. I pray your pouring out. I pray your giftings. I pray that you would awaken us into a new season. A season where we see you fully, where we recognize what you are asking of us. Bring your freedom, Lord. Bring your fullness in this place. Set captives free. And then equip us. Equip us to love you more. Equip us to love one another more. Equip us to move out from here. And so if you're hearing this prayer and you agree, I just want you to speak out loud, I agree. I heard a lot of whispers. If you really agree, I want you to actually speak it like you mean it. I agree. I agree. So Lord, we trust you. We trust you to move us into places that we have not been. We trust you to comfort us in these moments of discomfort that will come as we surrender our control to your control, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord. More than anything, we thank you for your love, which has set us free. We hear your call to set our eyes and our hearts and our minds on you. and to trust that you will give us everything we need along the way. And so we pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, church, there's such beauty in this movement. Don't stop. Challenge each other. Talk with each other. Keep moving forward. Let's move into a ministry time now and see what God has. Amen. Have a great week, church.